Good morning, Sweets Church. We're looking at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32. This is the last few verses in Hebrews chapter 10 before we go on to the great chapter of Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter of faith. And the title of this message today is Enduring Faith. And let's read God's word today together. Verse 32. But recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Now, these verses are intended to encourage us to remain strong in our faith during times of persecution. Now, I don't feel very qualified to talk to you on this subject since I have never personally faced persecution. I've been mocked, I've been teased about my faith. However, I'm thankful of this. God's word is not dependent on my qualifications and experiences. His word is living and powerful, and therefore it stands all on its own. But then we also have this really weird dynamic in culture today that in church culture that loves worldly prosperity, and they love it more than the cross of Christ. However, Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me in Luke chapter 9 verse 23. And this is why it's important to count the cost of following Christ. But many preachers and teachers, they're offering instead a luxury upgrade on the cross with a shoulder pad to ease the discomfort and a wheel for easy transport. And you can even upgrade to a lightweight carbon fiber full suspension package, of course, for a generous donation to the church. It's no wonder that many people walk away at their first encounter with adversity. They didn't sign up for that. They didn't sign up for being ridiculed. They signed up for this is your best life now package. And so Paul tells us in Ephesians 6:10, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. You see, we're in a spiritual warfare here. This is a battle. And so the verses that we're looking at today encourage us to remain strong in our faith during times of persecution. And they explain how we can have enduring faith. Now, I have categorized these instructions as follows. Look back, look up, and look ahead. We are to look back at the ways in which God has worked in our past, and we are to look up at our high calling, and we are to look ahead towards the promise of his coming and our better and enduring possession. And so first, if we want to have enduring faith, we need to look back at how God has worked in our past. Verse 32, he says, but recall the former days in which you were once illuminated. Once you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. And so he encourages us to look back. Now, I know Paul tells us in Philippians 3:13 to forget the things which are behind and to look forward to the things which are ahead, but this is a different kind of looking back. He talks to them about remembering the days after they were illuminated or after they were first saved, how God helped them to endure great struggle with sufferings. And it's important for us to be reminded of our illumination. Paul reminds us in Ephesians 5:8, that you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You see, we weren't born this way as illuminated believers with a new heart. The psalmist David said in Psalm 51:5, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. We were born in darkness and sin. Now, we sing this truth often, Amazing Grace, in which we say, I once was blind, but now I see. Now, keep in mind that this is not just Bible knowledge. There will be many people with their heads full of Bible knowledge who will find themselves among those who draw back to perdition or destruction. There were two ways in which these Christians suffered. Some of them were made examples. They were thrown into prison. They were ridiculed. Others showed compassion on their imprisoned companions, and they had their worldly possessions confiscated, and as a consequence of helping out their companions. And their response was this: to accept this joyfully. There was no lawsuit or fighting over their rights, but rather joyful acceptance. The response of these believers early in their enlightenment was proof of the new affection that I've often talked about, this displacing power of a new affection. We see this in the parable of the pearl of great price in Matthew 13, where a collector finds this priceless, beautiful pearl, and he sells all his possessions to purchase this pearl. There is a shift in value that takes place as you discover the pearl of great price. Your perspective changes from temporal to eternal. Jesus told us in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. He also instructs us in the Sermon on the Mount to store up our treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy. Even our bodies tell this story of the temporary nature of this life. Last week, I was at the gas station, and the attendant, he said, can I ask you a question? And I said, sure. He said, when did you start losing your hair? I said to him, I was 19, and he was shocked. But I don't know, maybe God wanted me to have an early reminder of how short our time on earth really is, and how fleeting my hair was. I guess it was like the steam that just vanishes away. There's also this shift that takes place in whose opinion that we value. You see, our shift happens in going from the temporal to the eternal, and also in whose opinion we value. You see that these young Christians, they were made both a spectacle and a reproach in their tribulations. Now, we don't live to please others. Now that we have put our faith in Jesus Christ, we have been bought with our price. Our lives are not our own. We now live to please the King. We have decided to follow Jesus. Though none go with me, still I will follow, no turning back. And the world often, they'll do good deeds for public relations or for return favors, but for these new believers here in Hebrews, there was no good PR happening here. There was no favors being returned. They were waiting for a better and enduring possession. Now, what is this better and enduring possession? It's Jesus and everything that he has accomplished through his incarnation, his perfect life, his sacrificial death and resurrection. And so first, we need to look back. We need to remember where we came from, and the great things that God has done in our lives, like that monument of rocks that the Israelites made at the Jordan River that would remind them of God's deliverance. And the second thing, to have enduring faith, we need to look up at our high calling. Verse 35 says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Don't throw away your confidence. What is our confidence? Is he telling us to believe in ourselves like the world tells us to? This is actually the fourth mention of this word confidence or boldness in the letter to the Hebrews. And so what he's doing here is he's assuming by now you know what he's talking about. So he's just using kind of how we would use a pronoun to replace a noun. He doesn't want to be repetitive. However, if we look back at the other occurrences, what we will realize is that when he's talking about this confidence, he's talking about Jesus Christ. And so you can see that our confidence is in Christ and has nothing to do with self-confidence. Now, the great The great reward that's talked about in verse 35 and the promise that's mentioned in verse 36, they are the same thing. It is eternal life in Christ. This requires endurance. There's no autopilot for the Christian life. In Romans 12:2, Paul tells us, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Philippians 3:14, Paul says, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward or the high call of God in Christ Jesus." This renewing of the mind. And this looking up is done as we read and memorize and meditate on the Word of God. You know, I used to be confused when the Bible says that we have the mind of Christ, because sometimes I just feel like I don't have the mind of Christ or think the thoughts of Christ. However, a friend clarified this for me when he held up his Bible and said, "We have the mind of Christ." It's here. Now, third, in order to have enduring faith, we need to look forward to the promise of God. Verse 37 tells us, "For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry." And so the author, he's quoting Isaiah 26 and also the Septuagint version of Habakkuk 2:4. And once again, he reminds us that our time here on earth is just a little while. In fact, all human history is just a little while in light of eternity. That's why Paul wrote in his second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 17, that his trials were a momentary and light affliction that would produce an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. In verse 38, he says, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." Paul says in Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." So not only are we saved by faith, but we need to live by faith. We need not to draw back to perdition or destruction, but rather we need to press on in faith. In the next chapter, chapter 11, we're going to learn all about faith. And we're going to learn that without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Verse 39, "But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." The way that we live our lives as followers of Jesus Christ should be seen as completely insane to those who do not know the way of Christ. We live in light of this truth. Romans 8:18, "The sufferings of this present time are not even worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And so we need to look back at the work that God has done so that we can renew the joy of our first love. We need to look up at the high calling that God has for our lives, living in the light and life of his word. And we need to look ahead to the promise of God, our exceedingly great reward. And as you do this, this will change the way that you live your life. You will be like that random person, you know, as you're driving through traffic, you're stuck, it's just stop and go, but there's one person just tapping the steering wheel and singing at the top of their lungs. It's as if they have front row at a concert, and they are in a totally different realm because they're hearing different music. And your life will stand out. Your life will be different because even if you're going through tough circumstances, things that nobody else would be joyful about, you are rejoicing in Christ Jesus, knowing that you have an exceeding great reward, and that is salvation in Christ Jesus. And so that's my hope and prayer for you today, that you would live this transformed life. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word today, for your word of life. Thank you for the truth, and I ask that we can live in the light of your truth, that you would continue to renew our minds, transform us as your church, that we can shine for you and bring glory to your name. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So thank you so much for joining us today, and looking forward to seeing everybody again and worshiping together in person.